96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
You're now in the Essential Zone, where we seek to be informative, inspirational, enlightening, and dynamic. But more importantly, we seek to be fair and balanced. There comes a time when the game tolerates no spectators, only players. There comes a time when we must recognize that our individual aspirations shape our collective destiny. There comes a time when getting in the game, despite the risks, despite the challenges, regardless of the cost, is simply the right thing to do. There comes a time when we must find our hearts, find our soul, and pursue our purpose for the greater good of all, for country, for humanity. There comes a time when we must manifest our true greatness. Yes, there comes a time, and that time is now. So let's get down to the essentials. The Essentials, serious radio for serious people committed to advancing the national conversation. And good evening and welcome to The Essentials, The Reset. This evening we are planning to have ourselves a wonderful conversation, joining up with our guests in Uganda. We are waiting for her to join us. Her name is Rebecca Namitala, and she is in that side of the world known as Lady Baso. She's a celebrated media personality from Uganda and spent some time in Kigali, Rwanda. And so we are going to have that conversation as soon as she joins us. It was supposed to have been last week. We got the logistics wrong, totally miscalculated the time differences. And then as a result of that, we were unable to make that connection, given the fact that we had already started a different discussion. So this evening, we are going to make that happen. And since we are reaching over into the continent of Africa, we want to give a shout out to some friends that we have there over in Nigeria, my brother Anthony Olukujo. We refer to him simply as the King. And there are some young people who I interact with in Nigeria also. My young mentee, he refers to me as his mentor, Zakoa Jesse. Recently met a young man called Ayuba Ibrahim, and then Devine Silva and Mary Jacob. All of them may be, well, Jesse is definitely up. I just messaged him. He wanted to join the link, so we'll see if he joins. But just want to give a shout out to all of those persons over there in the motherland. I have another friend from Rwanda. His name is Hubert. I don't bother try too much with his last name. It's always difficult for me. But we have persons there, and we know that this evening we will be joined by a daughter of the soil, a daughter of the continent. For us here in the Bahamas, in this side of the world, as part of the African diaspora, we look to Africa. We look to Africa as our ancestral, our spiritual home. And definitely, we feel always enlightened. We feel always happy, always enthused when we have the opportunity to speak to someone. You know, for me, I refer to all of them, you know, they're my brothers and sister, cousin. So when we get a chance to make that direct connection, we always look for that. And so at this point in time, we are going to introduce to the Essentials for the first time here in the Bahamas. We want to welcome Rebecca Namitala, a.k.a. Lady Baso. Welcome to The Essentials.
I'm honored, Herbert. Thank you so much. Thank you for that amazing introduction. Thank you. It's glad to actually be here.
Yeah, it's certainly a pleasure. We were supposed to have this conversation last week, and something happened, and we're going to refer to that as providence. Maybe we shouldn't have that conversation. Maybe this week is the week when someone is at home, available, and ready to be inspired by you. You have an amazing story. Beyond the fact that you are over there in Uganda, and I am personally excited to have this connection with the motherland, my motherland, as I refer to it. Beyond that, you're an individual who has made a name for yourself in the media space, on radio. You started out very early, and we want to hear that story. We want you to share that story, because as you indicate in your bio, or at least what we glean from your research, you are really, really highly invested in inspiring young people who especially wish to have a role in this place. So tell us a little bit about you. Tell us a little bit about your country. Tell us a little bit about why you got into radio and how you've been doing on that side of the world.
Thank you so much. My country, Uganda, is one of the fastest growing countries when it comes to media. I think we have over 65 or 66 radio stations, and some of them are English. Majority of them are English speaking. Then the others are local languages. Then, of course, there are some that are religious. The number is equally growing every other day. Feels like every other church has a radio station or a TV station, making it really easy for very many people who love to work for the media and they want to use their gifts to give back to God and appreciate and thank Him for the talent and skill they've been given. It's becoming more and more easier for you to even adapt and work on a Christian radio. So Uganda, of course, is in East Africa, and I think it's the third smallest country in East Africa, and yet very significant when it comes to media, when it comes to broadcasts, that is radio and TV. And I'm so proud that at a time when I really felt like I needed to give a contribution to media in my country, well, I got the opportunity when I was really, really young, because I was still in my high school, and then we had these long breaks of school.
Summer breaks.
That long break. Summer, is it summer break?
Yeah, something like that. For us here, it's summer break during the summer days. Yeah.
It must have been the same thing. So it was really long. I realized every single person would find something to do with themselves. And me being a church girl, very young, very enthusiastic, very energetic, I looked for where to put all this energy, because if I didn't look for where to put the energy in the right way, I was going to put the energy somewhere else, and that was going to be in the wrong way, because there were options for me to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were very many options for me to do that. So here I am, and then a friend of mine who was in Norway then came back to the country and said, I've always known you to be somebody who loves people, who is totally outgoing. I think for some reason you should be on radio. So her name is Claire Agaba. So Claire says that comment, and then for some reason, there's this radio station I used to listen to almost every single day. It would keep me company. I would love the music. I loved the presenters from morning to night. It was just so inspiring. So I wake up in the morning and I say, you know what? I think I'm going to actually give it a try. I go to the radio station. I tell them what I wanted. And the manager is like, I just like your confidence. I mean, at your age, you come to the radio station, knock on our doors, and then you feel like you need to do something on radio.
And you were 16 at the time?
Yeah, actually, I was 17.
17, okay.
Yeah. So what happened is that there was this particular guy who was on radio. I had not been on radio for like about 3 weeks. It was really confusing and perturbing, because there was nothing to show why he's not on radio. So when I went, I used that. I'm like, well, I've always had someone on air between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. And for some reason, for these 3 weeks, I've not been hearing him on air. And me being a fan of the radio station, I know the station name, I know the slogan, I love your music, I love gospel music, oh my goodness, I had all this entire story to tell. Before I knew it, one of the managers was asking me, do you think you can actually sit in for him? And I'm like, yes, I can actually sit in for him. In case he's not around, I can do the magic. When he comes back, well, I'll step aside and let him do his thing. So they called one of the producers. Producer talks to me, and they tell me, well, come in over the weekend. let's train you a little bit. We'll be good to go. I go on air over the weekend. I have this gentleman. He's been told you're getting to start doing the Saturday show with some girl. She's really young, but she's very energetic, enthusiastic about music. Then about, of course, the station. She feels like she belongs already. So here I am waiting to be trained, and I'm going live on the radio. That is what their training. Their training was putting you live. So I didn't go to production to give myself the highs and the lows of how you need to talk, when you need to talk, when where you need to talk. I didn't get that. I went live on the radio, and the first link, the first introduction I did, because he had told me, when you go on the radio, you're going to say your name, the name of the station, the slogan of the station, the song that just played, the song that's coming up, and then you could probably introduce me to as well, because you're going to be on the show with me all throughout, and we'll be good to go. So when I go on air, I say all those things. He was really impressed. He's like, you don't need training. You actually need to be on radio, because you just said everything you said like a professional. From that day on, I have never looked back. I have always and always given myself opportunities to actually speak to people. I love God, but I love people as well. And I know God uses a lot of my talent behind a microphone to just, you know, I call myself the person who takes life in lifeless places. Like if the radio has been established in a lifeless area or a lifeless kind of community, I'm that one person who's very sure that if I went on air, there's no way they would keep lifeless. Like I take life where there's death. Because I mean, we are full of life as children of the light. We are full of life. We are full of God. Yeah. So basically, that's my radio journey. I'm so grateful for every single important opportunity I have gotten because of being behind a microphone. And I never despised my days of humble beginnings. I always and always and always felt like if it hadn't been for God, I probably wouldn't have been on radio at any one time. So because of Him, I ended up becoming who I am today on national media.
And, you know, it's an interesting story, and I wanted to kind of start with you there, because you had a personality, obviously. As you say, you listened to the radio had become a part of your life, and then this opportunity came up. But beyond that, you had the boldness, the audacity as a very young person to step out and say to them, you know, give me a chance. I know that I can do it. How important it is, just looking back, how important it was for you to have been so brave, so bold at such a young age, even though the fact that you were very confident that you had something in you to offer, you had to step up and step out in that moment, didn't it? Wasn't it?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I don't even know how I did it, because sometimes I look back and I'm like, that wasn't me. I'm not the kind of person that would actually wake up in the morning, hear somebody say something about my personality, and then next thing I know, I'm jumping onto an opportunity. I mean, it was just purely God. I was confident, but my confidence was irrelevant if I hadn't been a child of God. If I hadn't been so soaked in Jesus and so crazy about gospel and ministering in the church, I mean, all this confidence was in there all along. But I just hadn't gotten the opportunity to showcase it. And when an opportunity arose, that's how my confidence came up. And I'm like, you know what? I think from that point on, anything that speaks to my energy, I give it a try. Mm-hmm. Anything that's going to bring out my energy and all of me, I always give it a try. And I did exactly that in that particular season, at that particular age, in that particular time.
And I think that's good. That's good advice for anybody. If you have a passion, if within you, within your bones, you feel that this thing provides you with positive energy, you must step out boldly and find some means of creating an outlet. You have to go search for it if it's not before you, and you have to be an active participant in trying to unearth your own potential. Isn't that the case?
Yes, it is. And for me, I probably would like to also encourage, I'd like to encourage people, not just young people, but people all over, that there are times when you probably have an opportunity of a lifetime and you might see it, you might hear about it, and then you don't jump onto it because you probably are thinking to yourself, can it be me? I feel like an opportunity of a lifetime must be seized in its lifetime, because it's an opportunity, but it has a lifetime, meaning that there could be that opening then, and it might actually cease to be an opening in about a month's time, a week's time, or even days. So the opportunity is there. But when you allow all the external factors like fear, like inferiority complex, dishonoring what is already planted in you, when you allow all those things to come in, then you never step up to the challenge. Mm-hmm. You can only step up to a challenge when you realize this is an opportunity. I got to walk through that door. If I don't walk through that door, then it might not be here tomorrow. Or it might not be here next week. It might not be here next month. It might not be here next year. I mean, I remember asking my pastor, how many things can I do at a time? And it's like, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And from then I realized I can be on radio and then still do magic on audio, commercial adverts, do magic with documentaries, do magic with my voice while singing in the choir, be able to actually use the same voice to maybe MC for events, whether corporate, whether church events, whether, you know, community events. I knew that I can do all things because if an opportunity presented itself and I was there and I'm available, why would I even not allow myself to get into that opportunity immediately? Because yeah. Opportunities of a lifetime, they have a time lag attached to them. Mm-hmm. It could be here today and not here tomorrow. So if you wait till tomorrow, tomorrow might be too late.
Yes. Yeah. And in a way, you are actually honoring your own potential when you, let's put it in the negative. If you fail to step out, if you fail to do the things which are before you, you're actually dishonoring your potential. You're dishonoring your gifts. These gifts and talents were given to you, developed by you, developed by persons pouring into you. And I believe that each one of us have a obligation to ensure that we in turn pour that back out into humanity, pour back that out into individuals or into groupings. And when we fail to do that, we are really not giving our best selves to the world, because we didn't get these gifts to be kept for ourselves. We get these gifts to be shared with others and to share them with humanity. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, I mean, everyone has talent, everyone has skill. I don't think there's anyone God created without gifts, without skills, without talent. Mm-hmm. The thing is, have them on the inside, and there's always going to be an opportunity where one of them is tickled. You see an opportunity, and then on the inside of you, there's that small voice telling you, yes, you can, yes, you can, yes, you can, yes, you can. And the more you ignore that voice, the urge increases. Mm-hmm. The urge continues to increase every other day. So knowing that God placed these gifts in us, and then there's an opportunity of a lifetime that is actually right in your face, it's time for you to showcase. And I've also learned the fact that most of the time, you don't even know what you're going to do. But because there's an energy on the inside that's giving you the zeal, the enthusiasm to go out for something, for some reason you end up, you know, performing really well because you stepped up to the challenge, even when you felt like you did not have the right qualifications or experience to carry out that assignment anyway. Mm-hmm. So you step up to it knowing very well that it's not I, but the God in me. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, which makes it possible that anyone who avails themselves, no matter how less educated they are, no matter how little experience they've actually had, even if it's no experience at all, but because they are willing to step out in the first place, that means they are honoring what is on the inside of them. Mm-hmm. And that is already magical. It's going to come out and just, you know, have a way of showcasing and coming out through them over a period of time. Everyone is celebrating what you have upon your life.
Yeah. And it's a form of, you use the word magical, but it's certainly a form of creative confidence, like you said. In the moment, you may not know exactly what it is that you're going to say. I know as a radio, I'm not a radio personality, but as somebody who does radio, there are moments when on the way to the studio, I have a very vague idea of what I want to talk about, direction I want to go in. And then there are some moments when I have absolutely no idea of what the discussion is really going to be like. What exactly is it that I want to say? And the producer plays the music and points at you, and you have to start talking. And in that moment, it emerges. Something from somewhere, from someplace, suddenly comes to the fore. And it eventually picks up momentum, and there you are. Is that a type of thing that you experience in your doing? Given the fact that you mentioned that sometimes you're unsure, you're not really yet confident as to exactly where this is going to go, but you know you have to take it someplace.
This happens to me almost every single day. If you told me right now whether I was ready to actually just do this, I would tell you, man, I didn't even know. In my mind, I was like, am I doing the right thing? Is it time for me to actually be doing this? Like, couldn't this come like a year later? Why is it coming now? But at the back of my mind, I'm like, you know what? God wants you to actually share your experience with people. And there are people out there who need this experience. They need to actually listen to the kind of boldness, to the kind of ingenuity, to the kind of enthusiasm, to the kind of vibe, to the kind of energy. And maybe that is exactly what some people are looking for. The life in you, the wholeness in you. And before you literally want to tell people, 5 minutes ago, I didn't even know I was going to say all this stuff. Sometimes people will actually tell you, it was a nice show. And then you go like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't understand. I didn't even know what I was saying. I wasn't even ready. I was actually coming from the garage. I wasn't even in my right state of mind. And then you hear, at that point where you feel like you had one of the lousiest shows, then you get feedback from so many people. Oh my goodness, your Thursday show? Oh my goodness, it was out of this world. Oh my God, we don't know what you ate. We don't know who you were with. We don't know what encounter you had with the Lord. But man, we were blessed. And in your mind, you're like, but how? You don't remember preparing for that show at all.
Yes.
You don't remember doing that. And yet it was so much of a blessing to so many people.
Yeah. And you know, what one of the things I find, Rebecca, is that on this side of the mic, you are working. You are literally working. On the other side of the mic, persons are hearing the result of your work. So your mind, your brain is going 100 miles per hour. You're looking at your notes or your thinking about the next question to ask to ensure that you listen actively to the person you interview. And that is work. But on the other side of it, the product that comes out at the end of the day can be so, so inspiring, can be so fulfilling. You know, we here listening to you, the fact that we're having this conversation, a radio station here in the Bahamas, and you are in Uganda. It's now 1:30 or almost 2 o'clock in Uganda. That in and of itself brings tangibility and brings a level of authenticity to the product that we are putting out. And here we are back and forth, asking questions, giving answers. But at the end of the day, someone will listen from someplace and will find some measure of inspiration, some measure of value from what we're saying. And pretty much, we didn't prep for this moment any at all.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was trying to say. I mean, if somebody will probably go like, man, what you guys did last week, or what you guys did last night, or what you guys did in the morning, in your mind, you're like, really? You were blessed? For real? It challenged you? For, like, you literally, at that point, know that some supernatural power was working on the other side, and you had no idea it was. But you just availed yourself as a vessel.
Yes.
You availed yourself as a vessel. You allowed to be used. And then God begins to just show off in you all the time you're probably behind that platform, or all the time you're behind that microphone, or all the time you're behind representing him. He's there using you. All he needed was an empty vessel that's willing to be used. And then he begins to pour in there. And you're just coming out and flowing with so much wisdom, so much knowledge, so much understanding. And that's exactly that's all that God needs for you to avail yourself as a vessel. And as long as you avail yourself as a vessel, he's willing to use you and begin to pour things through you and out of you over and over and over again.
Yeah. So Lady Bissell, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. You are in the gospel space. For the most part, you're a Christian. You're in the gospel space. Mm. But you have this moniker, Lady Bissell. And it seems in some ways kind of in sharp contrast with a Christian personality. How did this come about? Why have you attached yourself to this, or had it attached to you? Are you one of those individuals who have the ability to operate within that gospel space and also attract and flow into the more secular eras?
So what happened is that I originally started off, you know, when I was talking about the elementary school and how I was in, in summer holiday, and then I went actually to request for an opportunity on radio. I was there for like 3 years, and those 3 years changed my entire life forever. I thought I was just giving something a try because I have a hobby. So what happened is that mainstream media began looking for Becky the Abundantly Victorious, because I used to call myself Becky the Abundantly Victorious from my name Rebecca. So I said my radio name will be Becky the Abundantly Victorious. So mainstream media, because I had been consistent and I was it, and I actually had the vigor, the vibe, the energy, the enthusiasm, I was young, they came looking for who that person was. And when they came, of course, in most cases, they have the money. They had the money. They were looking for someone hip, someone young, someone that's actually not really known to the other world, but yet very, very talented. So when the offer came, I'm like, well, I think I'm tired of preaching to the choir. Let me go out there and preach to those souls. And I thought it was probably going to be easy. I had no idea that, you know, every media house has its own altar. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not going to be a bed of roses. You thinking you're going to just go there and then change things because you're a child of God. So when I went there and they asked me, are you willing to take on this offer? And I'm like, yes, I'm willing, because I feel like it's time for me to go into the mainstream. So I saw it as an opportunity because I felt like there were so many things I could probably do. But because I was on Christian media or as on a gospel station, there were limitations. There are things I could not, you know, allow myself to experience because of the things that probably wouldn't be allowed in the church. Things like, you know, allowing yourself to, headline corporate events, headline international events that probably were happening in the country then, allow yourself to, you know, to mingle with people who are not necessarily Christians, and get to find out how they feel about Christianity and why they isolate the Christians, and why do they feel Christians are isolating them? What does it take for them to actually, you know, be friends and mingle with us as well? So for me, when I went there, I had those questions in my mind. I'm like, well, I've mingled with God for a very long time, 3 years. It's time for me to mingle with the other celebrities that are not necessarily Christian and not gospel. So when I went on the radio, I remember my boss asking me, are you going to use Becky the Abundantly Victorious? And I'm like, of course. That's the only way people are going to know it's me. He's like, well, people know your voice already. And they will tell that it's still Becky the Abundantly Victorious. But we're not going to use that name on this radio. That is when I realized, already it had actually started. So I began to feel like my Christianity is being pulled away from me. Because Abundantly Victorious for me, it held a lot of meaning. Becky the Abundantly Victorious. It heard a lot of meaning. I had a lot of attachments to that name. And here I am throwing it away because this is a mainstream media. And for them, it didn't make sense calling yourself Becky the Abundantly Victorious? Lol, what's that? So they gave me a hip-hop dictionary. And when I went through the dictionary, there was all this hip-hop slang and you know, hip-hop nouns and doing words and all that kind of stuff. So I called myself Bizzo. Instead of Becky, I tried to turn it around and say Bizzo. Bizzo on the mic. And then I say, no, Lady Bizzo on the mic. And I told him, can I use Lady Bizzo on the mic? He's like, how did you come up with that? I'm like, well, I just saw how hip-hop rhymes and the way they rap. And I'm like, let me try using Bizzo on the mic, Lady Bizzo. Mm-hmm. And that is how I ended up using that name. Now, that name, Lady Bizzo, is probably a name I should have thrown out, because after 3 years in mainstream media, I still dived back into gospel, into Christian media.
Right.
I was on a Christian radio station, and then I was on a Christian TV station. And I felt like, you know what, let me throw it out. I remember a particular pastor talked up to me and told me, are you the Lady Bizzo my kids used to listen to on Hot 100? And I'm like, yeah. Did you change your name? And I'm like, I'm planning to. And he's like, the only way you're going to win souls, those souls that you were playing that had hip-hop and R&B for, the only way you're going to win them over to Christ is by maintaining that very name and then using that very name to praise the Lord, to bless his people, to love on the word, to preach the word, to live the word, and still call yourself the Lady of Ladies, Lady Bizzo. So I went with that name and I drove it from mainstream media. I jumped back into gospel media, Christian media. And I know so many people just couldn't believe it. They were like, she's always been born again? Because for them, I came up with this energy on radio, and they had already imagined how I look like, how I spend my days, how I spend my weekends. They had already drawn out the perfect lifestyle for the voice they would listen to on radio, on mainstream radio, almost every single Monday to Sunday. So here I am, and I'm on Christian radio, the same person, and now it's like God Almighty has good stuff that is actually waiting for you. He has a miracle with your name on it. Wake up with enthusiasm, knowing that he who began a good work in you. And they were like, is she the same person? Are you sure? Slowly, I saw people's lives being impacted. I saw people telling me they would never have known that the Lady Bizzo on mainstream media was a Christian girl. And she was up for the gospel. She was a Jesus kind of person. Until I actually maintained that name. And I said, I'm not going to throw this name out. I'm going to stick to this name and praise the Lord and do whatever he wants me to do, fulfill every single assignment and errand he wants me to handle using that very name for the glory of his kingdom. Yes. And that's exactly how I held on to this name. And this name has not just made me an icon in the gospel circles, in church circles, in Christian circles, but I feel like this name has done more by, you know, encouraging young people to believe in themselves while they are really young, and to help them realize that it doesn't matter what background you actually have, as long as there's a gift on the inside, God can actually use it, and you will be amazed at the number of people that will tell you, you're my inspiration. You inspire me so much. You inspire me. You go like, how? I've been following you since young child. I've been following you since I was six. I was listening to you. My parents love you so much. My grandmom loves. And I'm like, your grandmom? How? Like, your voice, like, is distinct. We just love you. I mean, you hear all these things and you go like, God, I give you the glory. God, I give you the glory. God, I give you the glory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's interesting, really interesting. You know, that one sometime have to create these bridges between the different worlds, so to speak. But I have a surprise for you, Lady Bizzo. On the other line, I have a young man who is from Nigeria. And I'm sure after listening to you for a while, you definitely have a new fan. Jesse, how are you doing, sir?
I'm fine, thank you.
It's certainly a pleasure.
It's already morning in Nigeria.
It's morning in Nigeria, so good morning to you. It's a pleasure to have you here again. You've been on The Essentials before. You are my young son all the way over there in Nigeria. How are things going? You've been listening to Lady Besso for a while. I'm not sure if you ever heard about her. She's from Uganda. She did some time in Rwanda, Kigali, and we will talk about that in a little bit. What is your impression as a young individual on the continent?
Well, first of all, let me talk about listening to her. Like, I picked some points from listening to what she said, and the most important thing for me is showing up. Whether you have it all figured out, whether you have the ideas or not, all you need to do is to show up and everything will be set for you. So this is something that I've picked here, and I'm ready to go all out, whether I'm afraid, scared, however it is, I'll just show up and just go on.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that interestingly, we were having a conversation just before I started the show and you asked a question. How do you keep yourself motivated? And isn't that the answer that you're looking for?
Yeah. It's the answer, actually.
It's definitely the answer. You, as she said, right, in the moments when you have something to do and it presents itself, you just have to be confident. You just have to be bold. You just have to step out and you just have to get it done. The young people in Nigeria, I know that there are different religious traditions there. But do you get any of the music or the songs coming out of the other country, the Uganda, the Rwanda, so on and so forth? Is there a sharing across the board?
Yeah, most of the times the music we get from outside of Nigeria, from that side, mostly it's South Africa, reggae music, Lucky Dube. We do listen to people like Brenda Fossey and all that, but mostly from Uganda. We don't listen to much of Ugandan music, but yeah, South Africa and maybe Ghana. Yes, we do have a lot of music from these countries.
Okay, well, that is going to change because you're now a fan of Lady Besso, and definitely we anticipate that you will be listening because, you know, in another part of the world, young individual who stepped out as a teenager and decided, this is the space I want to be in, this is what I'm going to do. And as you indicated, just listening in on this conversation, you have already been inspired. You've already picked up one important aspect or an important aspect of how one can be successful in life. You simply just have to be bold and you have to step out even when you do not know what the next step is going to be. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation. We have on the line Lady Besso, a radio personality out of Uganda, spent some time in Rwanda. Her name is Rebecca Namitala, AKA Lady Besso. And we'll continue the conversation because I think, you know, other than us connecting with our motherland, we are here to be inspired. She's a Christian. She does work in the Christian space, but she crosses over and she does that in such a way to inspire and uplift others. You listen to The Essentials, The Reset. Don't come right back.
Magnify, praise and magnify.
Next Level Solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance, and operational challenges, maximize their performance, and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or 768951. Next Level Solutions, practical solutions delivered.
Welcome back to The Essentials, The Reset. I think we were about to get a piece of coming out of Africa. We can hear that.
The trumpet blow. You don't wanna miss the ride. It's a rabbit to lose. When the heaven fully is on, it's a rabbit to lose.
And welcome back to The Essentials, The Reset. We're having a conversation with Lady Baso out of Uganda/Rwanda. Her name is Rebecca Namita. It's the absolute first time we are interacting. And, you know, as she said up front, there's an energy. There's always this energy when you know that you are in the right moment, doing the right thing, having the right conversation. Because we were supposed to have spoken. This interview was supposed to have taken place last week. It just absolutely never happened. But here it is that today we are available. And interestingly, on our line, we were able to link in with our friends in Nigeria. And so now Uganda is listening, Rwanda is listening, the whole world is listening. We are coming and pulling ourselves closer. Rebecca, I want to get from you. So you grew up in Uganda. You are a Ugandan, if that's the right way to say it. But then you spread your wings and you went into Rwanda. How did that happen? What was the experience like? Compare and contrast living in these two different countries on the continent.
Yes, I'm Ugandan. I grew up in Uganda, home bred in Uganda, and then studied in Uganda, and I began my radio passion in Uganda. But when I was beginning my passion in Uganda, I began that passion with a number of people. Now, one of the things that I haven't told you is that while Ugandan media was ahead at the time when I joined radio, it felt like other media houses or other countries in the East African region, apart from Kenya, didn't really have their media growing at the same pace. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we have realized that we have enjoyed a lot of supremacy in the East African region alongside Kenyans by stepping out if given the opportunity. So the time I joined radio, I remember I told you there was a particular show I was listening to, and this guy was doing an incredible job. He was called Derek. Derek Kajimo was on the mid-morning show on Kampala FM. Kampala is the capital city of Uganda. So this pastor called his radio station Kampala FM so that the whole of Kampala would be listening to that station. So he was really strategic. So when I joined it, Derek had gone to Rwanda, and he had gone with another presenter on that station. Now, that other presenter who went with Derek came back to Kampala FM, and we even did the morning breakfast show together for about 2 full years. But then even after those 2 years, he still went back to Rwanda. Now that I'm talking about 2004-05, that is when that happened. We worked together like 2004-2005. He went to Rwanda in 2006. So I joined mainstream media in 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10, then came back to the gospel industry 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, last year, 2022. That same guy I used to do the morning show with, who had actually been with me on radio for just 2 years and then went to Rwanda, called me last year and told me there was a station that began in 2018, and its main reason for starting in Rwanda is to introduce the English-speaking people in Rwanda to radio for a radio urban station that speaks English, the first of its kind. It began in 2018. Why did I go in 2022? Is because there was a gap and they needed a female radio host. There had been a couple of them. They had gotten from, they got some from, you know, South Africa. They got some from Rwanda itself. But for some reason, there was something lacking. So when they called me in last year, 2022, I was like, I've been on Ugandan media for so long. I was in a place where I wanted to just, you know, find ways of letting go and allowing the guys that we have mentored for quite a very long time to take up these opportunities as well. Because it was really unfair that you have all these young people that you've trained and there's no room for them to actually practice and, you know, go and air and enjoy. So I was like, it is very hypocritical for me to be on radio right now with all these young people I have actually mentored. It is time for them to make a name for themselves and also begin to exploit the different avenues God is allowing them to exploit like he did for me. So me eventually, I was so grateful that I actually took on the Rwanda Kigali opportunity to work in the only English-speaking radio station in Rwanda. So my experience there, and then knowing that a friend of mine who had himself could be trusted to jet in another media personality that he was sure is going to make things happen. And I'm sure my whole time in Rwanda is changing the lives of so many people, especially the women. The women in Rwanda are really, they don't really like come out. It feels really masculine for you to even be on radio. It feels like a masculine thing. It didn't feel like a female kind of thing. Then here I am, early morning around 6 a.m., and I'm waking them up. It's good to be alive on a beautiful Thursday morning. And my name is the Lady of Ladies, Lady Bizon. And here I am on 94.0 FM, the heartbeat of Kigali, Rwanda. And I think so many of them were like, wait a minute.
What is she Who saying? Is
If you study the women in Rwanda, they are laid back, they are reserved, they don't really say too much. Like it's a male world. Media is a male kind of thing in Rwanda. For me to go there, it was like an eye opener. I saw young people walk into that station and talk to the receptionist and tell her, "You need presenters? We are here." So we ended up being six females. When I joined, it was about five males and only two girls. That was in 2022, July, mm-hmm. 2020 July. By the start of this year, 2023, we had like 16 interns and they were all female.
Wow.
Then we had like, and then from those interns, we got about four presenters who were on probation and now they are all full-time. And even up till today, there are girls and ladies who have relocated from wherever countries they were because they have Rwandan origin. They've relocated and come back to Rwanda in Kigali. Mm-hmm. And they will tell you this one thing. When they hear me on air, they feel like I'm representing them. And they feel like they want to just come and join me on the show. And we do this thing for our four good hours, put it down and say, where is tomorrow? I feel so proud that I went on air and I wasn't timid. I knew I was in a different culture. I remember someone calling me and telling me, "You have come to a country and you're going to be swallowed up because we don't entertain that kind of energy. We don't think a woman should be like that. We feel like it is a masculine thing for you to be waking up people every hour in the morning, for you to be, you know, telling us what's happening in the news and everything." But surprisingly, there were girls on TV. If there are beautiful girls on TV, why can't they be on radio as well? And they had amazing voices. Actually, when I was going to Rwanda, I was told that, the English-speaking people, it's a very small fraction. You won't get a lot of traction, but at least you would have made your mark. And I'll tell you this one thing. I think for the most places I've been to and introduced as the Lady of Ladies, Lady Bizo, please say hello to my friend. She's actually from Uganda, but she now works here in Kigali. Is she the one on radio? My goodness, I like her voice. I mean, I've met people and they speak really well and they really, Rwanda is a very religious country. And I'm using religion because Catholics, there's so many Pentecostals. I mean, people love God.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way, there's absolutely no way you could detach them from the boldness that are actually the same boldness I used to step up and get into a radio station. They have it. So this whole thing that I came with, they're really conservative, they're really laid back, have been disproved. I've seen girls walk into that place and just do 10 times Bizzo. Like, super, like, go 10 times away from Bizzo. Mm-hmm. I thought I had energy. Then this girl shows up and she has energy 10 times me. And I'm like, where has all this been? And it's like they were waiting for someone to do it. And then they also step up to the chair and go like, well, like, if she can, I can do it 10 times better than her. And I've seen it happen.
Yeah. So you are, in many ways, you're a pioneer in that space, and you have gone into a neighboring country, and you're helping to break barriers, to change minds, to create a new rebalancing. We talk a lot on this side of the world about gender equality, the need for more women to be in spaces which were traditionally dominated by men, for women, for female to be given the right chances and the opportunity to excel and to showcase their talents, because they're, in many instances, they're as capable, more capable, much more capable sometimes than some of the men who occupy these spaces. And so you are absolutely a great thing, being a pioneer. And I think you must wear a feather in your hat thinking that, well, I was able to leave my country of birth and to step into absolutely new space. And in that new space, to create such traction, to create such an impact, such that you are inspiring young ladies to turn up in great numbers, to be in the media arena, and to eventually to start to pursue productive careers in that space. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel so proud. I sometimes look back and I'm like, how did I even take up this opportunity? And I remember one thing. Actually, our friend from Nigeria also just mentioned it. You know, sometimes it might seem far-fetched, but it is a truth. Sometimes all God needs is for you to show up for battle. Like, the only success, the only way you will know whether your project is successful, whether your idea is going to work, whether your plan is actually the best plan, the only way that will happen is if you actually give it a try. If you don't give it a try, we'll never know. I remember a very close person that I'm mentoring. He's more like a prodigy for me. I remember telling him and sharing with him that I've been given an opportunity in Kigali, Rwanda. And I remember asking him, should I go? And he did not respond. And he kept quiet. He gave me silent treatment for about a month. And in my mind, I'm like, I've spoken to Ronnie so many times about opportunities that I normally get. And he'll be the first person to tell me, take it on, take it on. But for this particular Rwanda situation, he did not respond. And when I went to Rwanda and I finally took on the opportunity, he told me, I didn't want to tell you what to do because I knew you knew what to do. He said, I knew deep within my heart as Ronnie that you needed to break ground and that it might not even take you a month for you to do that. In his heart, that I had been around the mountain for too long, the Ugandan mountain for too long, media mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And he felt like it was time for me to just push that into another arena. And it actually has worked.
Yeah, but he wanted do it on your own.
He didn't want me to say, I'm here because of you. No,
mm-hmm.
He wanted me to make that decision for myself and know how it feels like to make your own decision and then see results and be proud of the fact that it's always in you. The answer is always on the inside of you. So that very answer pushed me into an unknown land with so much fear, without knowing what to expect, and with all these notions going through my head. And man, how I'm so grateful that I showed up for battle, because I would never have known how victorious it is to win a battle in a foreign land.
Yeah, and that's so powerful. Let's go back a little bit to Rwanda itself. It's a country, great landscape, but unfortunately experience some really, really terrible tragedy, in the not so long ago. How have the persons, the groupings in Rwanda, how are they coping with that very tragic past, and how is the reconciliation holding up? How have they moved forward, the different tribe, the Tutsis and the Hutus? How is it today in Rwanda, having regard for that very dark recent experience?
I think their leader, their president, has done such an incredible job. Sometimes when you're not in the country, you might think it's some kind of hype that is being given to him as a leader. But when you actually step into that country and you see the things that have happened in that country, you will not believe that they came from genocide, yeah, to the grossing right now, to advertising and doing PR for their country that is real. It's not PR that is covering up something. It is PR that is showing people we came from genocide and now we are amazingly showcasing gorillas and we are growing. Mm-hmm. They actually call it the 3 G's. For me, I probably would like to applaud Rwandans for stepping up for fellow Rwandans. For you to actually, do anything and do it successfully well as a foreigner, you need to have Rwandan friends. You need to have a Rwandan businessman if you're a businessman. You need to have a Rwandan pastor if you're a pastor. You need to have, there needs to be a link for you to actually penetrate that land and be able to excel. They have covered up all the hate. They have covered up all the anger. They've covered up all that by using this one thing, and that is unity. They've decided to stand together. You cannot come from the outside and break them because that has happened to them before. They did not do the same thing to them. They are now aware that the enemy used the genocide to pull them apart. So they needed to come back and rebuild. They needed to be together, breathe the same language, speak the same language, and that's the language of love and unity. For some people, they could be struggling, but the majority of the Rwandans that I actually have seen, they actually have known and mingled with. I mean, number one priority is a fellow Rwandan. Before you come and step up into the picture, there has to be, their fellow Rwandan comes first. Wow. And because of that, there's an influx of foreigners in the country. But again, I'd like that they stand up for each other, they build each other up, and then they applaud each other. Even in the smallest of ways, they will applaud each other. They really love sports. Mm-hmm. And sports is one thing that has brought Rwandans together. They love lawn tennis. They love cycling. They love basketball. Almost every single backyard in every single home in Rwanda, in Kigali, has a basketball court. And I kept asking myself, why? Because I don't see kids playing. They're like, well, eventually it is a sign, because they are really, by nature, Rwandans are very tall people, whether male or female. Mm-hmm. And because of their height, it's obvious.
Yeah, it's natural.
It's natural. It comes effortlessly that they should be playing basketball anyway. Mm-hmm. And they played so well. And they've been beaten so many times. But no matter how many times they're beaten, whether in basketball, whether in rugby, whether in football, whether in cycling, the president will be there to attend every single game. There's nothing that has brought so much joy and so much nationalistic spirit in Rwandans, other than seeing their president support them in almost even the smallest of things, even just initiating a stadium. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's supposed to be a stadium supposed to be maybe for a particular sport game or hockey or something. I mean, he will be there, cheer these kids, cheer these adults, cheer these teenagers. He's just so, he is the bond that has brought all these people together. He loves his country so much that he will not speak in negative about the country.
Yeah.
And because of that, they believe in him. They all believe in him. And I love the spirit that they actually have for the man. I love it.
And I say, Paul Kagame, I'm sure, I hope I'm getting the pronunciation right, Kagame, is an example to us on this side of the world of what it means or what the potential is for being a really true and productive, progressive African leader. He has demonstrated in no simple way what it takes to take a country from a place of almost near destruction and to keep moving it forward. In the recent celebration of the Bahamas, of its 50th anniversary, he was awarded the Order of Excellence right here in the Bahamas. And, you know, there were some persons who asked questions as to why would you give this to him? You know, generally speaking, let me say this first. Generally speaking, there was great acceptance of the award. But there were still some persons who questioned why would he be awarded. And I believe that he was the perfect selection. Because he represents in many ways the best of what Africa can represent. Oftentimes in the Western side, in this side of the world, we get the negative, we get the bad news, we hear about Africa in from its worst perspective. Not often we see and we can hold up a leader like Paul Kagame as a representative of what leadership means and what value leadership has in terms of leading a people, leading a country in a totally new direction and in a way which is going to be exemplary for the rest of the world. And I do agree with you. I've listened to him a number of times, and he does not tolerate persons speaking unnicely, to put it nicely, about his country or the continent in general.
Yeah, he's a Pan-Africanist. He's a pan. He's Africa day in day out. It's for local languages to be, and that explains why you cannot really be successful in Rwanda until you learn their local language, because he's sold out for the local language. Mm. If you don't know Kinyarwanda, you had better learn it.
Yes.
Yeah, you had better learn. You ain't gonna last long until you learn the language.
You ain't
that's
gonna last
him.
Long.
That's him for you. Yeah.
Yeah. We still have Jesse with us. Jesse over there in Nigeria. Your thoughts, Jesse? You've been listening to Lady Beso. She touched on a number of things, touched on Rwanda. As a young student, I know that you are aware of what's happening, certainly around Africa and around the world. What has been your impression as one of the newest fan of the very inspiring Lady Beso from Uganda living in Rwanda? You there, Jesse? Now? Look like we've lost him. No, he's still there. Well, yes. you're
so, talking okay. about Rwanda.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Also, talking about Rwanda, like I really like the development taking place in Rwanda, especially in the aspect of tech. You know, I'm into computer science and all that. So we are very much interested in what the president is doing there. We always wish that it's happening here in our side. We call Rwanda the Silicon Valley of Africa because of development happening there. And really, the president has done a lot there and is still doing a lot. It's something that we are proud of, seeing that it's happening in Africa.
As a student of leadership, I know that you are very interested in building and growing yourself into a very astute leader. What are some of the things that you take from Paul Kagame, for example, in his role as the president of Uganda, and how you would contrast and compare? Well, not contrast and compare, but what are some of the things that you would love to see be incorporated into the governance of your own country?
Yeah, talking about his kind of leadership style, that's something that will move a country forward once you are involving the youths and even the teenagers coming up. But in most part of Africa, they don't involve the youth in leadership, in governance and all that. So it's creating a lot of problem because the leaders and the youths will always be at loggerheads. So sometimes you cannot find harmony in a country where there's no collaboration between the youths and the ruling class.
And that's definitely an important thing to focus on. We're going to take ourselves a break here. And when we come back, we're going to hear more from Rebecca Namitala, also known as Lady Baso. And we will also get some input from our good friend over there in Nigeria, Mr. Zoka Jesse. And we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we want to hear a little bit more about where we want to hear some about the Namirembe Cathedral Youth Mentorship Program. You're listening to The Essentials. Don't move. Come right back.
I've been around the world and it's true that your love overwhelms me still. 'Cause what is this love that you show me every day? You the bumper, the boy, I don't know what is this. What is this, oh? 'Cause I call you my driver, 'cause you are my provider. You know they don't need, she know you the wake me every single morning. And I know that from now till December, only you know fail me never. 'Cause my God, he answer by fire, oh. Yes, only one, yeah.
My God, he answers by fire.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
So what you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora, silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call a text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Next Level Solutions. Next Level Solutions. Solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance, and operational challenges, maximize their performance, and grow. Next Level Solutions. Dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions, practical solutions delivered.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Praise you forever. His love endures. I will magnify your name. I will worship you today. I will praise you, Jehovah, for his love endures.
And welcome back as we get a taste of the gospel music from an African perspective. We are here with Lady Baso. She is a media personality out of Uganda, working in Rwanda, and she operates in the gospel space, but she does crossover. She has the ability to headline corporate events. She says she does some work in the secular space, but she's always maintained her religious center, and you know, sharing with us about the great works that she's been doing in Rwanda, her experience holding up the president of Rwanda is a great example of how persons work in leadership to rebuild a country which has faced significant challenges, serious challenges. Two tribes fighting against each other, near genocide. Well, it was labeled as genocide. But here she is sharing with us, based on her experience, that right now, at this moment, not very far away from when that thing happened, that the people of Rwanda have come together in such a way that it is so, so difficult for anything and break that spirit. And that is such a wonderful, wonderful thing to hear. Lady Beso, you have been involved in this scene. You have interacted with a number of international artists who are up and coming on the continent, in Rwanda, in Uganda, and elsewhere. Share with us very quickly. Just give us a flavor of what it feels like in terms of the music scene, the gospel scene in these countries.
I feel like the gospel industry or ministry is just starting. Like, the best is yet to come. For a very long time, I grew up, playing gospel music from Nigeria and Kenya. Tanzania was playing more of choirs. They had more of choirs releasing gospel music, and it used to play on TV. And me being a teenager, I didn't really find that funky. I didn't feel like it was my teenager way of accepting the gospel to be like that. But of course, I mean, then those who are actually already, rooted in the faith and were now from excitement, they really loved the music. But personally, I was like, where are the genres? Where is the hip hop? Where is the zouk? Where is the R&B? Where is the Afro pop? Where is the pop music? I mean, I felt like, man, yes, we love country music, but where is the country gospel music? For me, I was more about genres, and I saw dancehall gospel music being appreciated and accepted in Kenya. And in my mind, I'm like, we can't do that? Why can't we do that? I grew up listening to Papa San. I grew up listening to Chevelle Franklin. I grew up listening to lots of dancehall artists, even in the mainstream. And for me to just wake up in the morning and I know I can, put on a song. And then recently I was introduced to an artist who did, I think she's also from the Bahamas. I don't know whether she's from the Bahamas or Jamaica. And she has a song called Takeover. It's more like, for me, it's the dance hall that I was really after, because I'd attended a Gospel Music Awards in Kenya in 2005. And from that point on, I'm like, what? You mean we could actually have dancehall gospel music? And then we even have an award ceremony, meaning that there's so many of them. So it was basically hip-hop, gospel, dancehall gospel, R&B gospel. I saw even Afrobeat gospel. I saw these people get awards day in, day out. And I was totally impressed. So slowly I began to see Ugandan artists who are known to do, laid-back gospel music. I saw them jump onto dancehall. And before you know it, they were jumping onto R&B. Then they were jumping onto soul gospel. Then they were jumping onto, oh my goodness. It felt nice being on radio and you can play a dancehall gospel. Then immediately after dancehall gospel, you can slide in a country gospel. Immediately after that, there's an Afropop gospel. For me, it gave me so much on radio every single day. And all I'm doing is playing the different genres, blending them in like a DJ would, enjoying myself. And then you have an entire request hour where you tell people to call in. And they're like, you literally have played everything. I just want to call you and tell you I love the show. Because it felt like this music was there all along. It's just that there was no station that was going to do research about who was doing dancehall, who was doing R&B gospel, who's doing hip-hop gospel, who's doing country gospel, who's doing soul gospel, who's doing traditional soul pop, or whatever the case could be. So I've seen this happening in Uganda. Now, Rwanda, I would not advise a dancehall gospel artist to actually have a show in Rwanda, unless it was just like you're just headlining. They are more of Don Moen. They are more of worship and praise. They are more of sinach. They are more of choirs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you're an individual artist, you had better be worshiping. You have no business doing dancehall in Rwanda. Dancehall gospel? They'll never think that's gospel music. Mm-hmm. They probably say, "Why are you playing those songs on a Christian event?" And then you have to tell them, but it's a gospel. Gospel? Gospel and it's dancehall? Like, they are not yet there. Yeah. And we have to respect the fact that theirs is a slow journey. And that is the way they want it to be. Because no matter how much you play the different genres, they still have their reservations about having particular genres represented in gospel. For them, they are tied around gospel being a choir that is wearing a uniform and they're in front of the church and they are singing. You had better be like that if you're going to call them mm-hmm. for your gospel event. If you're going to be running around with dreadlocks and then, you know, screaming the name of Jesus, they're going to call you crazy and mad. Mm-hmm. So Rwanda is slowly picking up because there's lots more of worshippers, praise, and in contemporary gospel is really on a slow. Ugandans are trying to bring in their music in Rwanda, and it's slowly being accepted. But even those Ugandans who are bringing in their music in Rwanda mm-hmm. are bringing it in a wise way. They can't bring in, like, if my album has 14 songs and three of them are more like songs I did with a choir, or they are more like praise and worship, then those are the songs I should take to Rwanda. Mm. Then these other ones, these dancehall beats and everything, they should play in Uganda, in Kenya, and maybe in other countries on the continent.
Right. So there are different tastes at this point in time. Persons are adapting to these things at a different rate. And, you know, so at least it's good to know that in that side of the world, there is a big acceptance of music, certainly from the Caribbean. And we want to hear some of the music from the Bahamas getting into Rwanda. Well, in Rwanda, it's not as gritty as dancehall all music, you know, a little bit more Afrobeat than the pure reggae music it is. So certainly some Bohemian music would do well, I think, in that space. As we come to, we're getting towards the end of this discussion, I want to hear from you, Lady Beso, about your participation in this Namirembe, am I pronouncing that right? Cathedral Youth Mentorship Program, hands-on skill. Talk to us a little bit about that, briefly.
I got, being on radio, I think this will apply to anyone who's been on radio. For some reason, when you're on radio, and then, and it doesn't matter whether it's a Christian radio or not, for some reason, people hear you every day, and they hear you inspiring them, they hear you building them up, and then in their minds, they're like, she must have the means to help me be like her or do something for myself. And what I mean there, to hear you talk to them about, yeah, you can go out there and do this. No, they want you to get into your pockets and give them something so they can actually go start their own business, start their own, you know, kind of franchise. They want you to help them and support them. It's been something that I've had to, you know, to struggle with almost all my entire career on radio. I've seen people walk to the radio station with a mother of like five babies and tell you they don't have supper, they don't have... For me, it's the young people that really caught my attention, how every single week there's always a young person, one or two or three, who's looking for Lady Bizzo. And in my mind, I'm like, Lord, I don't have this money. I can't even lie that I'm making this money that I could actually go out there and I can give anyone who comes. So in 2019, I thought about a way of equipping young people or anyone who was interested in practical skills. By practical skills, I meant skills that bring in money. Being a master of ceremony and MC on so many events, especially church events, including church weddings, church concerts, church youth dance battles, church rap battles, I'd seen so many young people, and their number one thing is that they're really, really talented, but they didn't have the money. And I also knew you cannot rely on your gospel music to make ends meet. So I knew that much as I would have loved to give them money to go and do their music, have their videos, you know, done and sent out to different and skill in entertainment, at the back of my mind, I also knew that I needed to help them understand that they could do something on the side that would support their musical journeys. Now, seeing all these talented young people in the church and they're jobless was really threatening for me. And really scary, because then they're looking at you, who's always inspiring them every single morning on radio, and they feel like you are their source of income. And I needed to show them that, man, this is not the only thing you can actually earn money from. So I stood one day and I asked myself, what are the things in Uganda that can help a young person make money, whether they've gone to school and had a decent education formally or not? And I realized one of them was catering. Like the ability to just, you know how to do rice, chapati, beef sambusas, and all these other small snacks that we normally have, even at the workplace. I also realized DJs. I saw very many young people come for internship at the Spirit FM and Spirit TV. I saw young people want to be like us. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, we have DJs, in-house DJs. And I talked to them and I told them, would you be willing to train young people who want to learn how to DJ? And they're like, anytime, any day. I mean, freely I got this gift. Freely I want to give it out. So I began in January 2020, before COVID-19 hit us in March. In 2020, I organized the first ever hands-on skills. And I got the privilege to involve my employers then. And they gave me free advertising on radio and on TV. And I called the young people who wanted to train in DJing, in radio, in TV, in radio mentions and adverts, in voice in documentaries, in catering, in tailoring, in makeup, in modeling, in, what else did we have? In baking, in hair cutting, hair weaving, hair plating. Mm-hmm. We have people who actually, friends of mine who,
I'm saying in a number of areas, yeah?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And these are all things that you can do in Uganda without having a license. Okay. You can just go on your social media and say, I supply juices of all kinds, and you can just give me a call, just have a picture up there or a flyer, or just have your picture saying, my name is so-and-so and I'm a good MC. Mm-hmm. My name is so-and-so and I do juices. My name is so-and-so, I'm a good DJ. My name is so-and-so, I do deco. My name is so-and-so, right. I do snacks. So we began that, and the number of women and men and children with their parents that showed amazing, that we got sponsors just like that. We got telecommunication companies. We got banks with us. We got soft drink companies jumping on board. Mm-hmm. I mean, from that day on, it is something that I preach everywhere I go, that you might not have the money to actually give to these young people, but if you can teach them what you're good at, mm-hmm. because me, I'm good at radio and I'm good at TV, and I know I have a microphone at home, I know I have monitors at home, I know I have a mixer at home, I know I can use this small room at home, install this, soundproof it, and tell them, come record yourself, come do your thing, definitely. Come just train.
Yeah.
And I've seen them go out there and send me work they are doing. I'm emceeing, and I'm doing this for my sister, but I'm getting contacts already because they're saying I'm really good. Thank you, yes. Bizzo, for this. And I'm like, wow, I thank God I started it.
Yeah, that is wonderful.
So that's how it started,
that's
yeah.
a wonderful thing. And so you are using your talent, you're giving back, you're breaking down barriers, you're being a pioneer, you're jumping from one country to the next. And here you are today, right across the pond, right here in the Bahamas, who are listening. We are running clean out of time. We finish in another 6 minutes or so. So, Jesse, very quickly, thank you for joining us. Thank you for staying up there in Nigeria. But can we, you know, know, just get some closing words.
My pleasure.
I hope that you enjoyed listening in on this. I hope that you have been inspired. And, you know, we look forward to ensuring that, you know, we make connections across countries, across continent. Your final words.
Yeah, first of all, I have to say, I have to appreciate Lady Beza for all she has been doing. And I'm happy to let you know that you have a new fan from Nigeria. Definitely, I would like to connect and like tune into your programs whenever you have them. Yeah. And
thank when it comes you, Jesse. To like, thank you, Jesse.
Welcome. And I also have to appreciate you for the mentorship you mentioned that you're doing. It's really something that youths in Africa need, because we need to develop as youths in Africa, and that can only be possible when we have people mentoring us. And I have to also appreciate Mr. Robert Edwards. Like, he has mentored me a lot, and he has helped me since I was a teenager. We've been connecting online, and he has been guiding me through a lot of things. And we also have this group, the Ubuntu Mentorship Group, which, of course, I'll urge youth like across Nigeria and even like other African countries to come and join. It's really something that they are going to learn a lot and develop, especially in terms of leadership.
Yes, I want to thank you, Jesse, for anchoring that. But to the day when we, as individuals, whether we are in Africa or we are outside as part of the diaspora, we will create more persons who look more like Paul Kagame, and we will have a continent, a motherland, which we will all be proud of. And that's kind of where it is. And we have so much personally to give to the world, as Lady Bezo indicated. When we look around, when we take stock of our own talents and the blessings which have been given to us, there's so much more we can do. So thank you definitely for joining us, Jesse. And so over to you now, Lady Bezo. You have the final words on the show this evening. What is it that you want to leave with the persons who are listening, especially young people who you have such a great passion for?
I was told when I was beginning radio that you're never too young to become a superstar. And you're never too old to start all over again. So I know that some people will actually feel like they're expired. They'll go like, well, I'm already in my late 30s. I'm already in my mid 50s. What do I have to offer? There's always an opportunity for you to go back and sit down on a table and say, where did I miss it? Because on the inside of you, there could be something burning that you haven't accomplished or done yet. And you're probably a bit in yourself because you probably feel like time has run out on you. You're never too young to become a superstar, and you're never too old to go back and reinvent the wheel and do something you've always wanted to do. As long as you know deep within your heart, you have this yearning that is always telling you, I think I need to do this. Because I've seen bankers go back and start doing outreach programs for people and resign from their banking jobs and be extremely fulfilled. I've seen doctors and dentists become DJs. I've seen women who have actually been doing law and everything go back and empower young girls who haven't even had decent education to learn how to do the simple art and crafts, you know, items that have been, you know, showcased in different markets and even internationally recognized by different. And I would like to actually also say that, you know, there's always something on the inside that is put there by God for you to accomplish. And until you accomplish it, you'll never be fulfilled. So many people have told me, radio doesn't pay that much. Yeah. Media doesn't pay that much. Why are you so stuck in it? And it feels like you're so happy and you're good to go. You know, and I'm like, there's time for everything. There's a time to sow and there's a time to reap. Let me sow in the media right now. Maybe 40 years from now, I will be reaping, and so will the people who've actually listened to the sound of my voice. They will be reaping as well. So it's never too late for you to start all over again. And it's never too early for you to become the superstar you were created to be by the Almighty God. As long as you don't dishonor what is upon your life and what is upon the life of people like you know, like you yourself, Herbert Edwards, and myself, and maybe Jesse, as long as we are willing to be front runners and frontliners, mm-hmm. and we're willing to hold other people by the hand, we're definitely going to take this world by storm.
Definitely. I want to thank you so much for staying up so late. And again, apologize for last week, but this week I think is even better than it would have been last week. Thank you so much, Lady Bezo, Rebecca Namatali, all the way from Uganda.
Thank you so much. I'm so honored. I'm so humbled. Thank you so much as well.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us, Jesse. And we always end the show by saying, do not allow your grief a victim of your unwillingness to change. At this point in time, the only thing which is left to say is take care of yourself, be good, walk good, one love and Ubuntu. Good night.
This is Guardian Radio 96.